Well, firstly, if the fragrance when you walked into the church didn't announce it strong enough, the Knights of Columbus are having a fundraiser breakfast down in Bishop's Hall following the Mass, so you're all invited and encouraged to just spend time with one another and help raise money for the Holy Family Learning Lab. It started small. I've got two brothers, one on each side. I'm in the middle. And I remember when my older brother moved out of the house, 5 years older than I am, he moved away, and it started small. Mom rearranged some of the pictures in the living room, shifted some of the furniture, obviously in reflection of the changing dynamics of the household, what was going on. Needless to say, it happened again when I moved out of the house. The pictures took another shift, another movement in the musical chairs. Then yet again, when my younger brother, the only of us three boys, the youngest, moved out, the same thing happened. But it didn't stop there, unfortunately. I go frequently to visit my parents who live here in Wichita on the other side of town. And I enjoy cooking and baking and spending time with them. But because of this, all of the instruments continue to shift in the kitchen, whether it be a zester or a knife, whatever it be, and I can never find anything that I need. So I eventually have to end up yelling for Mom, and she comes into the kitchen with five cabinets open and drawers pulled out all over the place. And she knows exactly where it is, of course, but I couldn't guess randomly where those things were. But amidst all of these changes, the shifting of the pictures, the paint color on the wall, the furniture, there's one that remained constant. And it's burned into my memory as a child. And that's a painting of Christ, the Good Shepherd. And he's standing there, of course, tenderly with one of the little sheep with the storm off in the horizon, one of those sentimental, hallmark, picturesque images. But I'm grateful because that image is so resonant with home to me. It's something that's so familiar, a familiar voice, not merely because we're acquainted with it, but because there's a different quality to that voice. A voice of home, of love, of comfort, of care, of providing, of safety, of security. This is what's resonant with this image, and it's so dear to us, obviously, with this image here, this beautiful stained glass window. An image over in the school as well, between the commons and the office, as you walk on the left side, if you're walking to the office, there it is, this image, this familiar image. This is to be contrasted with a voice that's not familiar, which the voice of our heart tells us is the voice of sin, of temptation, of darkness. That's not a familiar voice. That is not a loving voice. That is not a tone of voice that cuts to the heart. Here we are celebrating Good Shepherd Sunday. And my brothers and sisters, Christ isn't just good at shepherding. He is goodness and love and mercy itself in the flesh. He is goodness itself. And by the sheer graciousness of his incarnation, what does that mean? This some theological idea, by the grace of his incarnation, no, it's something that's real. It's tangible. It's something that can be seen and tasted and heard and experienced. Taste and see the goodness of the Lord. My brothers and sisters, here it is. I am the good shepherd. I have prepared a banquet for you in the sight of your foes. Is that our experience? What little-minded joy do we set our hearts on that it's threatened by some unfortunate circumstance or tribulation? What little joy is that? My brothers and sisters, the joy of the Christian life is not faint nor feeble. It is constant. It is unshakable. It is firmly founded on this cornerstone rejected by the builders that is Jesus Christ himself, our good shepherd. That's something that we can taste. And so if your hearts are trembling, if your hearts are hungry, if your hearts are discouraged, perhaps feeding here at the altar might give us strength against our tribulations. In the Hebrew mind, there is a profound connection etymologically in the word itself between king and shepherd. The words are related to one another. But beyond that, thematically, In the stories and the scriptures, they're deeply, deeply interwoven with one another. King David, the shepherd of old, he's the king of Israel, the one tending to the sheep, the little shepherd boy. He is the king. He is the one who reigns. And what is this message for us? But that his kingship is not something that's oppressive to us. It's not something that squashes our freedom, that squashes our joy, that squashes our hope, that restricts it tightly. Quite the contrary, as Peter so boldly proclaimed with these words that cut to the heart, Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord. He's Lord of the universe. He's Lord of our lives. And that means that we don't just learn how to be a good person, how to be a nice person, what we ought to do from him. He has dominion over our life, over our thoughts, over our affections, our sentiments. All of these things are censured by his truth, censured by his love. And that is something that the world cannot comprehend. That somehow our heart bound up and tied tight by grace and drenched with the oil of the Holy Spirit is something that produces freedom and joy. A resonant joy welling up from within our life in response to this fact of his presence among us. So here on this Good Shepherd Sunday, let us rejoice and rejoice deeply and thoroughly and well that we don't have a God who is just dragging us and keeping us safe across the circumstances of our life, but who in the very midst and in the act of that produces profound, unshakable joy. That is when we give a burning flame of witness to the world. When this burning fact of his presence, emblazoned in red light here in the altar, is reflected in our life, in our eyes, in our hearts, that people can see within us that same sanctuary light, because within us dwells him, the good shepherd, who has given himself, who has placed himself between the chasm and the breach. Between Israel, as he led them out from Egypt, he moves as a cloud in between them to prevent them from being heard at night. Our good shepherd becomes this lamb who gives his own back on the cross to do the same thing. Not only is he a good shepherd and king, but he is the Lamb of God offered in sacrifice. And my brothers and sisters, what a feast that is. And do not allow a lack of faith or the eyes of the world to shroud out or make you blind, make any of us blind to this profound, infinite joy that it is freely, freely, and deeply poured out upon us here.